Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 172, part 2, the conclusion to tell your soul to wait on God. Today is Sunday, November 7th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, and I'm sitting in the rabbi's office right now at Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Right now, I can hear some bags rustling. We are filling them with food. If you need food and you live in North Minneapolis, you live in South Minneapolis, you live in East Minneapolis, West Minneapolis, you live in the state of Minnesota, come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. If you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, come call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and get your household registered for groceries. We have got a lot of food and we have a lot to give away, so don't be shy. Give us a call. And for those of you who are not in Minnesota and you're listening to this podcast, be sure to join our online community. A lot will be happening there in the future, but for right now, just go to the top of the homepage. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. And don't forget Twitter. Sounds little, but it's big. Twitter. Follow the Twitter Rumble, generally on Thursday, where I do live tweets when I'm actually recording Pastor Paul's messages. So don't forget Twitter Rumble on. Why do we call it the Twitter Rumble on Thursday? Why? Because we're in the middle of a rumble. Can you hear that phone ringing? All right, we're already getting calls for Pastor Paul's. People want to register, but call back at 1 o'clock. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, give a testimony. If you want to do all that at the blog, go ahead. We'll be interested in reading it. You can also email me, but I wouldn't. I've got way too many emails. Better yet, just call me on the phone, 612-521-4665. I'd love to hear your voice. Okay, don't send me an email. Call me on the phone. Or start a podcast. It's fun. All right. Hey, I am psyched. I'm in the rabbi's office. How can't you be excited about that? Speaking of the rabbi, also scripture links within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to check those out. Now, this is the November introduction. I almost forgot. This is the November introduction. Let me get my tapes. Hang on a minute. I'm in the rabbi's office at the rabbi's desk. I'm taking over, people. Okay, here we go. Hang on. I have to take the rubber band off of all these tapes I have for the month of November. Okay, and you know, if you come to the podcast, you know, you can just actually go through this message. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. Okay, but here it is. Who is willing to go? That's next week's message. Learning to be content. Oh, learning to be content. I've been going to so many things, talking and listening about content. I get the two mixed up sometimes. Be content or be content. Well, I guess that's what we are right now. We're being content. Okay. We that know the Lord. I wonder if there's some "we that know the Lord." Okay, well, that's the next one. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay, I'm kind of thinking on all of these. Let me go back again. You know, I am kind of a slow reader, but I'm trying to I'm trying to kind of take this in. Okay, let me try it again. Now, keep in mind, this is not a radio broadcast. It's a podcast, okay? So I don't have to do a perfect job. All right, here we go. This is the November announcement. I'm your hostess for the mostess. I already said that. Okay, who is willing to go? That's a good one. I know that's going to be good. Who is willing to go? I am. Okay, I know you're holding up your hands right now. The next one, learning to be content. That I know is going to be a good one because that is hard for all of us, especially me. Learning to be content, not content. We that know the Lord. Now that one, we that know the Lord. I get it. We that know the Lord. Okay. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay. Those are them. Those are November's podcast coming up. And be sure to listen both on Friday night and on Sunday. We're kind of doing the same thing that we did with Pastor Paul in church. You know, every Friday night we came in and listened to a message that was always so cool because it was at night and we came in and listened. There usually weren't hardly any people here, very few people, the die-hard people that wanted to hear the message. Okay, so you've got to hear that. That is part one. Part two is on Sunday. A lot more people come on Sunday. You know, everybody kind of goes to Sunday school, the church thing. But I want you, my die-hard podcast listeners, I want you to listen to part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. Promise me. Scout's honor. God bless you. Have a great month of November. Have an excellent Thanksgiving. And if you need food, give us a call. Bye.
And so I will leave my face. Why not leave your face today? Leave your face. Please. I heard someone say. No, just leave your face and preach right. If my soul is right, you're going to preach right. Soul. Your face will get right when your soul gets right. Right? It's so hard to speak to your face. You walk in, you were working in offices, you walk in and you just barely coming in the door and you straighten yourself up and you speak to your face and you put on a happy face and you put on this face. Huh? And you wonder how many people know that it's really not a truthful face. You know it isn't. That's the time to tell people to speak to their soul and say, soul, give me an inward face. Something to fill that face up from the inside. See, you can't fill your face up with a smile from the outside. You can paint one on, but you can't fill it up from the outside. It's got to be filled up from the inside. You got to be willing to let God come in. You got to be willing to speak to your own soul and say, soul, hey, wait a minute. You're miserable. You are so miserable. I don't believe how miserable you are. I have seen miserable people in my life, but you are the most miserable, and it seems like you are so miserable, you're not happy unless other people are sort of a miserable happy that when other people are miserable. Have you ever seen a miserable person? They get enlightened when something happens. And guess what happened? They're like vultures. They're waiting for death to happen. Well, I just don't believe it. Then they go back to being miserable again. And you have to wait for the next death to happen. Then they need to speak to their soul, see? And so leave your face today. In other words, so make God the only object in your life. Are you the object in your life? That's why we are so miserable. The object of my affection is to turn my direction over to the mirror. Ooh, huh? God, the most boring thing in the world is to turn your attention on you. Then you're going to start finding fault with yourself. I don't like my hair. I don't like my face. I don't like this. I don't like that. No, I hate myself. Hmm? A lot of women do that. I got to lose 40 pounds. Why not start 1 pound at a time? That's why people never lose any weight. They're always talking about 40 and 50 pounds. I have to lose 50 pounds. No, you got to lose 1 pound. And go to the next pound. Now, I'm not looking at you. I'll look all over so everybody will think I'm talking to them. We'll talk to the imaginary fat lady over here. Well, why does it have to be a lady? Fat person, a Ms. or a Mr. Got to be careful how you say things now. Get somebody, a Ms. or a Mr. Now it says if you don't hate your children, don't hate your family. The Bible tells it more, you know, you have to love God. Hate them in relation to Jesus Christ. You can't serve Him. Well, what does that mean? It means you got to have Jesus as your first love. How many have cheated their lives? How about movie stars? I was talking the other night about Elvis. And here is a man that knew the Lord. And he cheated himself. And what was his God? Blue suede shoes? I don't know. Get off of my blue suede shoes? I don't know. But see, he cheated himself. Isn't that awful? And how many other movie stars and how many other famous people cheat themselves by having other gods, millionaires and preachers and poor people and teachers and husbands and wives and old and young, by choosing some inferior object and going after it? I'm going to go for it, boy. Girls do that. I'm going to go for it. And they go for some guy that isn't worth going for. And so you businessmen, you listening on the radio, let's say this, you professional men, people squeezing millions or squeezing a quarter, don't end up shipwrecked, dying disappointed, grieved, and let's say sad at heart. Wait only upon God. Let all expectations come out of Him. And then again, my soul, wait only on Him. Have no care but to please God. Oh, that's a hard one. Because when you have no care but to please God, it leaves a lot of things that you thought you had to please out. Perhaps I think the most miserable people in the world are the very careful ones. You who are so anxious about what will happen tomorrow, what will happen if, and what will happen when people. You worry about every spiritual weather forecast, and you're fearful, and you have fearful presumptions. You make more of your troubles than you could do about your joys. And you're so worried. I had a call some time back, and God, man, what I'm wanting to do, and this is a few years back. My daughter's pregnant. Well, I said, is that some kind of, so she's pregnant. What do you want me to do about it? Well, I mean, I don't know what to do. What do you think I should do? I said, well, what have you been saying to your soul? Well, I don't know. What do you think? I hate to even mention it. Do you think abortion? I didn't say anything because I wanted him to speak to his own soul. He says, do you think I should send her down to Florida, down there to my mother, down to grandma? And then, you know, say that the baby was adopted or something like that? I mean, what should I do? And I just let him talk and talk and talk until he came to all these different things. And then finally he says, well, what would you do? I say, well, I'd just let the baby come. It's going to come when it comes, that's all. And let people's tongues wag all they want to wag. They are going to wag anyway. I says, you bring that baby back from Florida, do you think anybody's going to believe that you adopted that baby? Ah, man, you don't even like kids. No, I said, you just have to be dependent upon God, because people are going to be most cruel with you for a while until they find some other garbage like flies jumping on manure piles. And that did it. And his daughter stayed there and went to school and had the baby, and to this day they're happily, she got happily married and everything else. Why? He found out that he just had to go to God with things. Don't worry about every spiritual weather forecast. My soul, be careful about nothing except God.
Oh, God. Oh, your soul says you got to be careful. Oh, be careful, because if you do this, people will think that. And then if you do this, people will think that. And then if you do this and that, they'll think this and that. And oh, soul, oh, you...
Hey, don't be careful about anything. Put the beans on. Get going. I mean, hey. Be careful only about God. Right?
I don't know, I have this neighbor, and, you know, you have to walk on eggshells around her. Why walk on eggshells? She'll hear you coming. Huh?
How about throwing a couple of cream pies her way and let her know you're coming? Huh? You know what I mean? Why be careful? Why be anxious around people? And step around like, oh. Don't you be anxious about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Except the Lord. Put all your trust, put all your hope in Him. Cast all your cares upon Him, it says, for He careth. He cares for you. Make your concern, soul, to serve and to love God. Are you concerned? So many times we're concerned, and people will be concerned. I am so concerned. Well, be concerned about God. Say amen, somebody. I am so concerned. Be concerned about God. Don't be so overly cautious. Soul, I'm speaking to you, so don't be so overly concerned with, but what if? Don't be afraid to put one foot ahead of the other. Preacher called me the other day and says, brother, and it seems like lately there are a lot of them calling, brother, I'm under fire. Well, then run. Did you do one in the eye? I says, duck. Brother, I'm under fire. I said, duck. Let the darts go right over the top of your head. But brother, I'm under fire. I said, run. Dodge, faint, move, get active. Don't stand there. Get busy. Who are you waiting on? You're waiting for a dart, or you're waiting for God? Here comes another dart. I feel it. Go! I feel it coming, huh? Oh, people are so concerned now about the interest rates. Well, a guy called me up. Sure, the interest rates are up. Now they're down. Now they're down to 7.7. They're down to 7% some places. I says, well, good. You got money? Yeah. Well, I says, you were waiting for them to come down? Yeah. Well, I says, well, now you're concerned because they're too low. You're suspicious. Oh, what if I lose my job? I mean, this could be some kind of sham going on. I'm going to be cautious. I said, well, we'll go ahead and be cautious then. And all these big wigs, they'll buy up all this property at low interest rates. Well, you're busy being cautious. Then they'll raise it. Then you won't be suspicious anymore, and you'll go out and buy it. I mean, a lot of things are just common sense out of the Word of God, aren't they? Why, they're so common sense, you don't believe it. But how about inflation, he said? What if inflation comes? Well, I said, how about it? Your blood vessels are already inflated. You're going to blow a gasket. What's the difference? Well, how about housing, and how about this, and how about, I says, you sound like you're awful anxious. And how about the world? Where is it going? I says, it's going to hell. And he says, well, haven't you got a word for me? I mean, what can I expect? Yes, I have a word for you, and I want you to give this word to your soul. I gave my soul this word this morning. You can expect peace and joy and love from the Holy Ghost. Peace and joy and love from the Holy Ghost. Peace and love and joy from the Holy Ghost. Speak to your soul and tell your soul that and encourage your soul and say, my soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And learn this and learn it to be resilient. Bounce back. Sometimes people don't want you to bounce back. There he is again, and they can slap you, one of them little bouncing things, you knock them down, boom, and they bounce back up again. Learn to be resilient, preachers, and then you're going through it. Learn to be resilient. Expect from God, wait on God, and all else I said was sinking sand, and let the world go nuts, let them build all their great big bombs, let them do their things, but you consider the lilies how they grow, and look at the birds how they feed, and say, not what shall I eat, and what shall I drink, but wait upon the Lord, and that's all you need to know. He knows my need, and it'll come one way or another. We were turned down on $11,000 that was to come our way. And I thought on it for a while, and I thought, well, it'll have to come another way. And since then, we've got more food in here than $11,000 could ever buy. More like $111,000 worth of food. God brought it another way. But if you're busy looking down the road waiting for this to come, 7, come 11. Come on, that's a gamble in the world. 11, come on 11, come on 11, come on 11. And you're busy. No, your expectation is from God. And you don't look down no road, you look to God. And all of a sudden, trucks are driving up. Multitudes of trucks. Another truck, and another truck, and another truck, and another truck. It wouldn't surprise me if a train came down the middle of this street. Airplanes and helicopters dropped down. Huh? Airdrops. Huh? God's going to bring it one way or another. That's all I know. My expectation is in God. Not in funding. If it comes that way, God calls it to come that way. Person asked me, is he going to stop writing proposals? No, I'm going to make proposals. But it's going to come from God in the end anyway. And then again, David meant this, my soul, make God your only dependence and never trust in anything else. Take God as your only pillar. I was thinking about this. It talks about the pillar in there, and it talks about God doesn't have no pillars under the world here, under this earth here. They're invisible. God holds that up. And God is the one that holds you up too. What keeps it from falling? It's unpillared. And a Christian should be an exhibition of God's universe also. Yes, he should. His faith should be like an unpillared, let's say, confidence. Resting on the past, of what you've seen God do in the past, but also looking towards the future on knowing that He will take care of your every need according to His will. But we are such dependent creatures, aren't we? Oh my God, we get to leaning on each other, don't we? And we get to leaning on a dear friend, and the dear friend moves out of town, and we telephone rings, and oh no, sorry, this number has been disconnected. And you get the mail back, address unknown, send to sender. We get so dependent upon one another, so necessary for our very existence. Listen, you who are trying to prop up something that needs no propping up whatsoever, when you lean upon a friend, you are dishonoring Christ. Don't make people your joy and your confidence. Well, they could die on you.
Well, what's the idea? You went and died on me.
I've seen a show on this. This woman wasn't just so in love with this guy. And that's fine, but I mean, this was several years later. She was looking at this picture. Raised a whole family, went through the whole thing, and over the fireplace, here's this old guy up there with some kind of pipe in his face. She says, "Why did you have to go and die?" No, I thought, well, her dependency was on this guy here. No, or this woman, or this congregation, or people, or friends, or whatever. Not that there isn't that thing there, but your expectations have got to come from God. People change. Do you ever notice how they change? Now you see them, now you don't. Now they will, and now they won't. Huh? They change. Do you ever have friends, and all of a sudden you have a friend, and then another friend comes along? And you try to get in on the threesome, and they kind of look at each other like, Nerdsville. Happens, don't it? Don't it just sort of hurt you in your heart? You say, what happened? Huh? Then maybe they'll give a few catcalls, and you go, huh? You're a real frumpy kid. Rub it in a little bit. You know what that's helping you do? That your expectations that come from God, not friends, they change. Huh? Girl come in, she says,
you remember, I said,
I seen her at a cafe.
She said, come over at the table, and she was just heartbroken. I thought, oh, this poor girl.
She come over, and she was standing there, you know, and she said,
hi, she said, you remember me? I used to come to the ministry.
And I'll just say Johnny Boy.
Johnny Boy left me.
And I said, really, I really feel sorry about that, but you didn't expect a whole lot out of the guy, did you? I said, for the grace of God, you could be Johnny Boy. So, I mean, your expectations, honey, come from God. Do you know what? I says, you know, God even knows the names of your kids. So, I mean, the right thing will happen. I mean, people change. I said, did you ever come into work and your boss is here? And one day is, boy, I am really proud of you. You are a model. And they put your picture up in a frame. Model waitress for this month. And then you go back in the kitchen and they're back there. I don't know what's wrong with her. She just forgets everything. And boss, I'll tell you, she doesn't put the fork and the knife and the spoon on the right side. She never wipes the table. She expects others to do her work. And she's only interested in men. And she's only interested in tips and things. And she never puts enough ice in the water. And people are complaining. They are, boss. They are, they are, they are. So? Has it ever happened to you? You could have a total friend, and the next day it's like you're not there. What happened? I seen a guy not too long ago, and he was in a store shopping, and I said, well, hi there, and I'll say Johnny O again. Hi, Johnny O! And he said, yeah. And I turned around, and I looked at him, and I went, so? And I turned towards the girl behind the counter, and I thought, well, I know this girl. I know she's friendly, I think. And I walked over to the girl, and she was really friendly, and I thought. But she could change. I could say, hi, girl behind the counter, and she'd say. People change. Hey, your expectations come from God, not people. Huh? One day the boss is ready to give you a raise, the next day you're on the end of his foot. Hey, the only love we have is what God gives us. And it seems like the ones that are the most mistreated are the ones that understand and they don't want to do them kind of things. See? It's always those that are mistreating that don't understand. It's the mistreated ones that understand and gain compassion from them, and they're willing to be more Christ-like. And that's how you get Christ-like, through suffering with people, recognizing they change. Not too long later, then I seen this guy that said, yep. Yeah? And I didn't, and he said, hey, he said, how about going out for lunch? And I said, wow, great. That sounds great. Now I know I sound like a simple. But I mean, it was a free lunch, let's face it. It's a blessing. Now, I'm just kidding here because I'm trying to make it a little bit light. You got to have a little humor in your message because it's pretty powerful because it hits people right between the eyes, see. And so I go out and we have a conversation. We do this and that. It's just like it never happened. As far as I'm concerned, it never did happen. Well, almost. Are you hearing this? But it's the fact that we remind our soul, but for the grace of God, you could be in that situation. I remember at school one time they had this guy. Well, no, it was years ago. They didn't, you know, they picked it on small towns. They didn't have blacks there, so they'd get the Greeks or the Italians. And this is a long time ago. Hey, WAP! Well, at least they're not picking on the Greeks this week. But I was always for the underdog. 2 weeks before, they had chased me home with rocks. My dad says, you're a greaseball. I ain't never going to go out with you. I thought, praise God, I don't need rocks in the back of my head. I ain't never going to go out with you either, sister. But when it happened to this guy, this Italian, I had compassion for him. I got beat up for it. But I felt good. I was sore, but I felt good. Sometimes you have to stick with your friends a little bit. Sometimes you have to go through things a little bit. But anyway, they change, don't they? People change. You change. Huh? You ever hear that song? You're not the angel that you once were, huh? No need to tell me that we're through, for it's all over now, you've changed. Didn't anybody ever hear that song? How old am I anyway? And I opened up the refrigerator and I saw this lovely apple. I thought, lovely, this is the most gorgeous, beautiful, almost purple apple. I could see my face. Do you ever look at yourself in an apple? Boy, you're ugly. Your whole face contorts. But anyway, I looked in this apple. It was a beautiful, beautiful apple. And it wasn't a couple days passed, and I thought, hey, there's an apple in there. And I opened it up, and it was all brown and soft. Well, that's what it can happen to people. They can go rotten on you, right? Well, the Bible tells us our expectation is that people are not able. But he, the Bible says, is able. I think this would be a good lesson for some who occupy the pulpit. They are so dependent upon the deacons and so dependent upon people and so dependent they use people for props. They're so concerned and they wait on Daddy Warbucks. No, we need to have men that are outspoken about the gospel of Jesus Christ and are willing to go the limit. Who will sweep away fear and with a sort of confidence, and who can say, hey, I serve my God because he is able. And when we get these kind of care for nothing people who only care for God, then we got something. We got people that are willing. Then you're going to cause the earth to shake and you're going to cause something to happen. God will visit, it says in the Bible, our land when the ministers speak to their own souls, soul searching. It was late. It was about 12 o'clock at night, and I flipped on the TV, and they had a thing on there. It was called Star Search, where they had these stars, you know, and one sings and one acts, and something went on like that. And I thought, man, they ought to have soul search. And search for the best souls. God's doing that. Soul search. Then you go into performance in God. Next, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Make God your only confidence. And when we get into trouble, the very first thing we do is knock at our neighbor's door.
Have you heard about my trouble? Come on over and give me some advice. Put the coffee pot on. Sit down. We'll talk about it for a couple hours.
You know what I ask people? I say, have you gone to God first? I will not give you any advice and any kind of counsel until I know that you've gone to God first. And the people go all over the world seeking a way. There is only one way. Many are Christians. They want a monetary blessing over and over and over again. They have never learned to wait upon the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Wait upon the Lord for somebody else. But some say, you know what, this preaching here today is superstitious. It's fanatical to wait upon the Lord. No, it's not. I'm saying take all your troubles and take all your cares and take all your problems to God and say, Lord, direct me, and you'll never go wrong. And then say to your soul, wait upon God, and God is going to answer. A person came in a few days back and said, I want your advice about getting married. And I thought to myself, how dumb. You have already made up your mind. Right? No, and I just happen to be looking over there. I mean, how dumb. You've already made up your mind. Are you hearing this? He'd already made up his mind. 5 foot two, eyes of blue. I mean, you know. And you know, he was standing in front of me. It was the most funny thing. He says, I want to consult you about getting married. And he had a computer readout t-shirt on. And it had a picture of himself, I think over here, and a picture of his girlfriend. And they were looking right into each other's eyes, and what was on their lips was, I love you. And then he wanted to come in and ask my advice. I said, did you go to God about this? Well, not really. I said, well, why don't you ask God? Why don't you pray about it? Well, I just thought I'd come in and ask your advice. I don't even know the girl. Well, she's right here. I said, but yeah, but that doesn't mean nothing that she's on your t-shirt. No, I said, I don't even know her. Oh, it was about a month ago, a guy came in. He says, you know, he says, I'm really seeking God whether to take this job or not. He says, it pays $10 more an hour. The benefits are fabulous. And I'll be moving to Hawaii. But see, I don't know if it's God's will or not. You know what he had sticking out of his pocket? The plane tickets. See, he had already made up his mind already. Most cases, we've made up our minds already. We pre-conclude about each other even, don't we? We've already made up our minds to say, hi, how are you? Yeah, yeah. Huh? That just didn't happen. That was a pre-concluded, pre-arranged, premeditated murder. There's a difference in getting mad and upset, and there's a difference in precluding things and presuming things and setting in your soul and telling your soul, hate, be bitter, judge. You know what I mean? So that when you see the person, that's in your soul. Are you hearing this?
But I don't know if it's God's will or not.
Well, give me those tickets. I'll check it out when I get to Hawaii for you. Let me wrap it up here. I fear in most cases, I fear you serve God the very same way, with many positive confessions. We make our mind up what we are going to do, and then we get on our knees and say, Lord, show me what I ought to do. And you've already made up your mind what you're going to do. That doesn't line up with the Word of God.
Lord, show me how to react when I meet this person. Show me, Lord.
You've already pre-concluded how to react.
If that woman calls me on the telephone, I am going to tell her off in no uncertain terms.
And so when the woman calls on the phone, or the phone even rings, you start blasting away and it's the preacher or somebody else. See, whatever that we put in our heart shows on our face. And we have to talk to our face over and over. And face, do your thing. It isn't going to help. You got to learn how to talk to your soul. Make up your mind to that today. But if God's direction lead to the contrary thing on what we have prearranged and pre-concluded, oh my. We got a war going on then, haven't we? Next, my soul, wait thou only upon God for my protection in the times of danger. We're living in a dangerous time, much crime. Talk of war, internal strife, many seducing spirits. Spirits of confusion, the Bible says, are going to be loosed. Spirits of defeat are going to be loosed, and people are defeated all over the place. I'm going to throw in the towel. I don't know how many men of God I've heard say that in the last 6 months. I am throwing in the towel. Well, I said, jump in there and wipe yourself off and get back out again. Get going. What do you mean, throwing in the towel? What towel? Well, we need the gospel like never before. We need to get out and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to just get it on. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to speak to our own souls and say, soul, wait thou only upon God. My expectation is from Him. It's not from the waitress. It's not from the cook. It's not from people. It's not from anybody. My expectation comes from the Lord. Know how anxious we are about our character. Maybe someone, you listening on the, maybe somebody's slandering you. Are you troubled and are you grieved about losing your good name? Now remember, they called God a whoremonger and a winebibber. And the devil. And maybe you've been on TV, you've been slandered, maybe in the newspaper, maybe in a magazine, maybe, who knows? Maybe you've been falsely charged. What do? Nothing. Not one thing. Keep your mouth shut. Let that dunghill scab over. Don't stir it with a stick. You'll knock off the scab and raise the stink. The Bible says, vengeance, oh, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Also, I think we need to practice non-resistance in words as well as in deeds. Non-resistance. Don't resist. If somebody comes up, the Bible says, and slaps you, turn the other cheek. Ouch, that hurt. Bow down. Bow down before the Lord and let the darts fly right over the top of you. Because to resist slander is to make it worse. And a man talked to me, he says, oh my God, I got these family problems. I got this boy and, oh, he's such a horrendous kid. And, oh God, he's going out and he's telling people this and he's telling people that. And he told them this about me. I'm wondering what he is saying about me. I says, don't wonder what he's saying about you. It doesn't matter. I says, if you go and try to tell the people your side of the story and you're all mad, this kid, you know, you realize what he's done to me? He's broken up our this and he's done that and he's caused his mother a heartache and he's wrecked the car and he won't go to school and he smokes dope and his room is a mess and he stinks and he yells and he beat me in my face a couple weeks ago. And you just go on with all that tirade. You know, they're going to look at you and then they're going to make a summation on you. Don't say anything. Not one word in your own defense. Now remember, that's going to happen in the end. Don't come to your own defense. All Jesus said, God of the whole universe said, was, you mean to tell me that you are the Son of God? And Jesus said, you said it. Do you think that he had more of a vocabulary than that? I mean, this is God speaking. Said he could call down legions of angels. Why? See, it can do you more hurt to open up your mouth than if you lay still. Now, you know, when a bear attacks you or some kind of animal attacks you and you lay there and you don't move, they'll stop biting you. Because ain't no fun no more. Now it's only fun when you're kicking. Huh? Oh, that's fun when somebody's kicking and yelling. And then you know what he said? You know what he said about his son? And then the son said this, and the dad said this, and the son said, don't kick. Don't lay down there and kick at people. Stop it. They get the kicks out of it when you're kicking. Don't you know? Oh, look, they're kicking away there. Just lay there. Have at it. You ain't no fun then. You ain't no fun when those kids, when they're talking about you. Remember we were talking about them two kids? You know which ones I'm talking about, don't you? It left you out. You don't say nothing. The next day you go by and you're just your old self. Say, hi, how's it going? Pretty soon they're going to say, oh, I guess we didn't affect him too much. Huh? But if you say, okay, I'm not going to play with you guys no more either. I went by and you called me a nerd and everything and I don't want nothing to do with you either. I hate you guys. I hate you real much, real much. Then they're going to have more fun with you. Right? Oh, don't add wood. Don't give people wood so they can lay it on the fire. Don't feed the flames and they will die. Let alone wait upon God only. And what else are you afraid of? Losing a loved one? Losing a job? Losing a friend? What a soothing message when we can say, we will wait only upon God. And don't be sporting this worried long face. Christians, don't do it. Sporting a worried long face. You ever seen someone sporting a worried long face? I'm so worried. I don't know when I've been this worried. get all wrinkled up in here and you sport this worried face. What's wrong? Well, I'm worried. What are you worried about? Well, I'm worried about this, and then I'm worried about that, and another worry I have. And I have this other worry, and I have this worry and that worry. Don't be around a person like that. You pick up the same spirit. They're worried. They're called the spirits of worry. And they worry, worry, worry. People just love. There's some people, they can't. It's a spirit, and it lives with them so long that they hate to give it up. They love. It's a familiar spirit, and they live with the spirit of worry. Oh, you ever been around somebody like that, and they're worried all the time? Huh? Maybe you're starting out to be a worrier. Don't let it get a hold of you. Huh? Oh, Christians, get out of this worrying thing. Your hope and your trust is in the Lord and your expectation. David says, so wait upon God. Take it easy. He's the only one that can help you. Say amen, somebody. Let me lock it up. Well, you said that 10 minutes ago. Don't worry about it. Maybe you have a rich grandfather, a guy called me. You know, I don't want to talk about this, but Pastor Paul, as soon as my grandfather dies, and then he's 75 years old, you know, I am going to give 10% of everything I get to the church. I says, that kind of sounds like blood money. I don't know. I says, hey, my expectations come from God. I'm not going to sit around waiting for this guy to die. Oh, this couple, they came in. This is years ago, and they were with Grandma. And now Grandma had a lot of money. Or it was Grandpa. Grandpa had a lot of money. And so everybody was wanting Grandpa to come and stay at their house. Grandpa, you're coming, and we will not take no for an answer. Come on, Grandpa. And so there was about six of them fighting over Grandpa. They pulled the old gent apart, you know what I mean? And finally, then Grandpa said, well, I don't know what they did. They drew straw. No, they did something anyway. That Grandpa went to this one person's house. And then they found out that Grandpa didn't have no money. Did you want to know that Grandpa was out of that house in a couple of days? And that nobody wanted Grandpa? And they put him in a nursing home. Went down after aid to keep Grandpa, and then they found out Grandpa was really worth the money? How do they explain their unlove to Grandpa now? Grandpa, we were just kidding. Come on back. They got him strapped in a wheelchair at some nursing home because he's so mad. How do you explain on love like that? How do you explain to your friends when all of a sudden you turn and you're very unlovely and then all of a sudden you find out they're for real and then you try to love them again? Okay, now I love you. I decided to love you. Oh, stink, double stink, stank. Why put ourselves in that situation? But if it happens to you and they say, let's go out for dinner, say, sure. We've learned something then, haven't we? That our expectation comes from God. How do we patch up something like that? Oh, my. Businessmen and you guys that are playing the stock markets and all of you people out there that are yelling. It's like a big hog pen. I've seen it on TV last night. Now they're having trouble over there with this atomic fallout over there and they're afraid of the grass and the cows that eat the grass and the grass that goes in the cows to give the milk, and they go on and on, and now everything is, they're bidding way high. And that's their expectation. Let me close with this. And I really am closing this time. I told this story before, but I think it's kind of cute. I went to the fair. And at the fair, you ever been to these places where they have like antique autos and they have all these real fancy automobiles? You know, it says, come on in and see the Hitler's car and come in and see, this Porsche that Elvis had, and then they have all these fancy cars, and then 1920 Essex, and they have all these different things, and you know what I mean? You ever been to one of those? How many been to the thing like that? And so I walked in, this guy was standing, he was shining on the fenders and everything, and the signs were there, don't touch, don't get near, nothing, don't you dare, you know, all these signs are there. And I told the guy, I says, now, I want to thank you very much for your automobiles. And he kind of looked at me, thanked me for them. He didn't say that, but I read him. And I was really interested in automobiles. I really like automobiles and things like that. And interiors, but I mean, I had to look like this because you couldn't even get near the thing. But anyway, then I went in the next day and I says, I really want to thank you for your automobiles. And he kind of went like, what does he mean by this? So the third time I went in, and because I really like automobiles, like I told you. And the third time I went in, I says, now, I really want to thank you for these automobiles. He says, what do you mean? Maybe he thought I was going to come and steal them. What do you mean? You're thanking me for these automobiles. Well, I thank you for these automobiles because, see, you do all the...